this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Very interesting.
But not as much fun as a May Wine Festival. Especially when May brings the bottle.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and we are back with another version of the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Well, as usual, when we have shows about the grape and all its glory, that means that I have moments to take off on tangents. And this show is definitely going to be one of those tangent shows, but I think it's going to be one of the most entertaining ones we've had in a long time. We have two guests today. We have Libby Vogel. She is the creator of the Swirl Girls website, and she is going to join us and talk to us a little bit about what the Swirl Girls do. We also have Dave Reddy Jr. He's the winemaker for Murphy Good. Loyal listeners will remember Dave Reddy because he's been on the show before, but we've got a whole different take, and it's Dave's fault we're doing this tangent today. Today's show is about great wine jobs. Isn't that an oxymoron? Is there a great wine job? I'm not really sure. I've been whining for a long time, and some people say I'm great at it. Some people say I'm not. But when we look at things like that, we have neat. Libby's going to tell us about blogging, how to get on to get your information in. And Dave is going to tell us about a really cool job that Murphy Good is offering. So for those of you who want to get in the wine business and want to have a chance at the biggest, coolest job I've ever heard of in the wine business, you need to stay tuned and pay attention because he's going to tell us all about it. But for right now, I've got to tell you all about some things. And of course, we have to have our weekly wine recommendations. And in doing so, of course, I picked a Chardonnay for starts. Today we are talking about Groth Chardonnay, and it is out of Napa Valley. And since I am on my way out to Napa shortly, I figured I'd make some friends out there. But all joking around, their 07 Chardonnay came out. It is one of the best Chardonnays I have had in ages, simply because it's perfectly balanced. You hear a lot about Chardonnay. Sometimes they're too oaky, sometimes they're flabby, sometimes they have too much acid. This wine has everything you could possibly imagine in it. It's aged in oak. It has a great estate background to it. And I think it goes great with any kind of summer salad. And it's meaty enough to stand up to grilled chicken, to grilled pork, of course, the other white meat. And it will go well on your summer table. But a side note on that Groth, one of the reasons I really want to talk about it today is a couple shows ago, we were talking about wine faux pas and things that you can do that you probably shouldn't do when hosting a dinner party or having people over. And I just want to share, let you know, I myself am not perfect. I was fortunate enough, and even though, yes, I know, Kent, shocking, whoa, I am whoa, not perfect.
Bulletin.
Yes, that or I drink too much. I'm going to let the listeners decide. So I had a group of people over trying out new vintages, new Chardonnays, and I had two bottles of everything lined up, and we started going through the wines, and we tasted the Groth, and we really liked it. Now, we got carried away and started tasting some other things and had a lot of fun, and I realized, wow, I have no more cold Chardonnay. So I went to my freezer and I threw several bottles in and I figured I'd leave them in there about 20 minutes. Well, in the meantime, some other people came over, brought some other wines, and well, it deteriorated. I got up the next morning, opened up my freezer, and there in my freezer were three perfectly formed Chardonnay popsicles. Yes, I too had forgotten and left my Chardonnay in to get too cold. And I know they always tell you alcohol will not freeze. It's a lie. Wine will freeze. It'll give you an idea of the percentage of alcohol in a bottle directly proportional to how much it freezes. And just for those of you who are not aware of this lovely factor, when things freeze, mass expands. When mass expands, it's going to go somewhere, and generally it's going to go out the cork. So here's my tidbit of advice to all of you listeners who are trying to chill your wines in a hurry. Don't leave them unattended. When they freeze in your freezer, they pop the cork out. The cork, whatever's left in the bottle that's not frozen, proceeds to run down the inside of your freezer, the inside of your ice maker, and all the way. And eventually it will puddle in this cute little thing in front of your refrigerator and convince you your refrigerator's broken. So there.
This was your refrigerator, not your freezer.
Well, it was my. Well, by the time it was done, it was my freezer and my refrigerator.
I see.
Yeah, so there is my offside, off-tangent story. So yes, one, I'm not perfect. Two, do not leave your Chardonnay unattended. And three, plan ahead when you're having people over and make sure you have enough wine cold. All right, enough on that tangent. So Groth Napa Valley Chardonnay 2007, a wine recommendation for the week. And of course, with Dave Reddy being on the show, I've got to recommend his 2008 Sauvignon Blanc. Now, this is Murphy Good Sauvignon Blanc, and some of you are kind of looking at your radio going, isn't she supposed to say Fumé Blanc? Murphy Good has changed their packaging a little bit. So those of you who were big fans of the Fumé Blanc, it now says Sauvignon Blanc the Fumé. Here's my other tangent off my wine recommendation today. Here's your little wine tidbit. Fumé Blanc was actually a creation by Robert Mondavi in the sense that he thought that the vineyards looked like they had smoke rising off them where he had Sauvignon Blanc planted. So Fumé means smoke. He started calling it Smoke Blanc and created his own little niche. You'll find a lot of wineries throughout California using this term, Fumé Blanc, and when you see it, it simply means Sauvignon Blanc. 90% of the time, it also means that it has seen a little bit of oak. Back on tangent, back on track, Murphy Good 2008, the Fumé. This is great. It is the Chardonnay lover Sauvignon Blanc. It has a little bit of oak to it. It's all North Coast. It has some nice acid to it. Because the way it's fermented, it actually balances well. It doesn't have the overwhelming grassy acidity that turns some people off to Sauvignon Blanc. It's citrusy. It has great tropical fruits. But it's great with food. It's great with anything. So I suggest you try it for a summer refresher. So there are my little tangents. Now, going back to the topic at hand, great wine jobs. See, when you two find your great wine job, you can get on the air and just ramble incessantly and have a lot of fun with it and make your producer cross his eyes, kind of like I'm doing today. But a lot of people come up to me and they say, Laura, how'd you get in the wine business? Laura, how'd you get in the radio business? How did all this come together? And I think that's something we're going to focus on today, because especially coming off the Chicago Wine Festival, that was probably the number two question I got. How do I do what you do, or how'd you get into the business? And I think the overriding question on everyone's mind was, did you know about wine when you started this? The answer to that question is what I'll tell you now. I don't know about wine now. The more I study, the more I learn, the more I try and keep up with things, the more I realize there's so much left to learn. And that's a point I need to drive home, whether you are just really enjoying wine for the sake of wine, whether you're trying to learn so that you can improve your food palates, your wine palates, or whether you eventually want to get into this godforsaken business. Everybody starts out on a level playing field, and it's just a matter of how aggressive and how much you want to teach yourself along the way. I started out when I was 18 years old working at a liquor store in Atlanta, Georgia. I didn't know anything about wine other than the fact that my manager kept telling me to go stock the wine shelves. Okay, fine, go stock the wine shelves. Pink goes with pink, white goes with white. Now what do I do? Eventually, people would come in and talk to me about wine. Here, taste this, taste this. I've admitted to all of you on my blog, on my website, and on air, I started out drinking Sutter Home White Zinfandel. Better yet, I thought I was high cotton when I was doing Behringer White Zinfandel. And oh my God, when they came out with the Reserve, I thought I'd gone to heaven. Eventually, though, you have to take the initiative to go past what you know if you're going to get into the business. You have to actually take the time to learn. And that's what we're going to focus on today with our guest. We've got Libby coming up. Libby's going to tell you how they're learning and how they're blogging and how you, too, can join the movement. We're going to take a small break right now, but The Crush will be back in a moment.
Laura Lawson's back in a moment with more of The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. Northwestern Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping diva, and we're continuing along our trek to prove to you there are a lot of cool wine jobs out there that you don't necessarily have to be overqualified for, of course, like me. To continue on this endeavor, we have an interesting guest. We have Miss Libby Volges. She is one of the founding members of a group called the Swirl Girls, and to quote themselves, they say, "We don't know everything about wine. Actually, many days it feels like we know very little, but we're enthusiastic about learning and trying, and that's all we can hope for from anybody." So right now, Libby, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking time to call in today. We are talking about neat jobs in the wine business, and you girls have certainly found your niche. Tell us a little bit about the Swirl Girls.
Well, we started about a month ago because there are four of us on staff at the newspaper, the Palm Beach Post, who love wine. So we decided we wanted to blog about it, and we picked a few nicknames for ourselves, and we got it off the ground about a month ago and are very enthusiastic about the possibilities that, you know, we can do with it. And we want to connect with the community. We want to hear what people are drinking and what they're liking and what they don't like and use it as a way to learn together.
I think that's a great opportunity. I think a lot of times, especially, I know, if I got four of my girlfriends together, two things would come about. One, two of us would argue incessantly about who was right and who was wrong. But secondly, we'd be popping so many corks and swirling so many glasses, we'd never get anything written or done. How do y'all manage it?
We think it's a balance because we're all journalists by trade. We know the importance of writing, but the writing doesn't usually happen that night. So we try and go out and have fun and enjoy the wines and enjoy the companionship of each other. And then about, you know, a day or two later, we'll get out our notes and try and decipher what we wrote about them and put something together from there.
How's that work for you? Usually I wind up spilling Chardonnay or Grey Goose on mine before it's over with and they all blend together.
You know, we find that the notes are a lot better in the beginning of the evening. We can write really good reviews about the first wines we tried, but towards the end, we tend to write things like, tasted good or liked it, and from there, that gets a little tough.
Well, see, you're kinder. When we go on trips abroad and we're actually going to different restaurants and different wineries to taste wines, we deteriorate to smiley faces and stars. So I definitely can relate to that.
Well, I'll keep that in mind.
But, yeah, wait till you get the ugly ones with the little death eyes. It's really cute. But looking at what you're doing and how it relates to what we're talking about on The Crush today, people often ask, how do you get in the wine business? And anybody can be in the wine business at any given time. Libby, did any of y'all have a strong wine background, or did any of y'all come from the beverage business?
Aside from a great love of drinking, no.
And see, that's why you're the perfect example of what we're talking about. Anybody who has an opinion and a corkscrew can get involved in the wine business. And something lovable and great about wine, it inspires conversation. And like you said, it's companionship. And everybody can bond over a bottle. There's no way they can't.
I can't imagine having wine without having friends or acquaintances or people nearby with me. And for me, it is something that can make a night wonderful, and it can make friendships deeper, and it has such a memorable effect. And that's what I love about it. I love how it brings people together.
I think it's interesting, and one of the reasons I really wanted you on our show, for our listeners, you need to check out pbpulse.com, and you can check out the Swirl Girls. But almost instantly, they gained a connection to the community, and it's been interesting to watch people respond to you and what you're doing. How have you seen that impactful, and what have you learned from that?
I've learned that there's all sorts of wine lovers out there. There are people who responded saying that they like the sort of wine that, you know, is the low, you know, lower quality or lower end, and there are people who responded back and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you drink that. You know, I would only go for this. And I think that is what is great about it, is that you have people coming from all walks of life who are interested in it and, you know, interested in all different types of wine. So that's been really fun. And it honestly, it's been so much fun to get to know people who are in the wine community, not just as a consumer. You know, we've been doing some interviews with sommeliers, and that has been a great experience. They know so much, and they're anxious to teach.
Hey, sommeliers are almost always anxious to talk. I promise you that.
We found that to be true as well.
Fair enough. When you're looking at what y'all have done, what advice would you give to our would-be wine bloggers out there if they wanted to start something like what you're doing in their own community?
I think you have to figure out what you know and what you want to talk about. We're very, very honest about the fact that we don't come from a wine background. All we know is what we like to drink, and half the time we don't even know exactly what it is we like to drink. So we're starting from the ground up and really trying to explore it together with the community. If you know everything there is about a certain region, maybe that's going to be your specialty. What you know and what you want to talk about, I think, will dictate what kind of blog that you're going to write and who's going to follow it as well. I think you have to find your niche within the wine community.
Do you think there has to be I'm looking at what y'all are talking about, and you have so many great responses from a guy, the wine guy, who's just pompous, to someone who's actually asking for advice. I think you've summed it up lovely when you say you don't even know what it is about what you want to drink. Can you not find a common ground with that with your community?
I think if that's the peg you want to go for, I think that's a great peg. That's obviously what we're going for. But we're going for the let's learn together angles. And that's, you know, that's what we can bring to it. So I think, you know, I think figure out what it is you like to talk about as well. Whatever you're passionate about, whatever you'd like to talk with people about, that's a good starting point. If you want to talk about how you go to tastings and you can't tell a Chardonnay from a Sauvignon Blanc, you know, if they were staring right in front of you, that's something too.
Yes, apparently if the bottles are there and the labels are there, that means you need to get glasses.
Or you've had too many and are actually at the end of the line.
That's true. That's fair enough, too. Well, I thought this was fascinating. I don't mean to get off on a tangent with you, but on one of your latest posts, you had a woman talk about the fact that her neighbors were coming over, and she was embarrassed because she didn't know whether to pull out her cheap wine or to serve the good stuff. What did y'all finally resolve on all that? We're going to use this question later in the show and have some fun with it.
That woman is actually me, so I'll own up to it now. I didn't know that was such a big issue for people within the wine community. I just knew that I was standing in front of my wine collection feeling a little ungenerous because certain bottles I was kind of hiding behind the others thinking, these are my friends. You know, the bottles were my friends. I didn't want to share them with people. I want to enjoy them, you know, for a really special night. And it wasn't a very flattering moment. I wasn't very proud of how I was feeling at that moment.
Oh, no. You never should feel bad about this because you captured this well. Your bottles are your friends and your friends are your friends. And just like I have a group of friends, I wouldn't want to run into each other. There are certain friends that should never meet.
And then I talk to people who actually end up stashing their good bottles of wine in their sock drawer when their friends come over. So I think there's actually a scale and a range of, you know, reactions. And I was talking with someone yesterday about this, and it goes further. It goes, what do you bring when someone invites you to your house? If they don't know anything about wine, do you bring just a cheap bottle of wine and get by with it? Or do you try and impress them whether or not they know anything about wine? So that's another question entirely.
It is another question entirely, and it all depends. I think my answer to that would be, what do you want to try? If I've got a bottle and I've sat around and I've looked at it and I don't really know if I like it or not, hey, let's get other people's opinions. Let's poll. Let's see what everyone else says.
That's a great answer. I ended up deciding with kind of a compromise. I pulled a bottle that I knew that I would enjoy drinking, and then I pulled a white that I knew that I probably wouldn't enjoy drinking, but a lot of my friends who don't know a lot about wine, you know, are drawn to whites, and they'll drink whatever's in front of them. And the cool thing about my friends is that they'll come to my events with wine. So, you know, you get them started, and then you just open the bottles they bring.
That's always the way to do it. And that's also a question you'll probably get along the line, is people will ask you, if someone brings a bottle of wine, should I open it? If it doesn't have a bow on it, open it. It's just one more bottle y'all all get to try together.
I agree with that.
So there are four of you, and I noticed that y'all took different names. You are Sweet Libby Bulgies. How does that work? Why did you pick Sweet?
It was a conversation my friend Gwen and I had. We were talking about our taste in wine, and we were laughing about the fact that I liked sweet wine and she liked dry wine, and it really reflected our personalities as well. And so we got going with that, and then when we had the other two bloggers, we convinced them to work with us. We said, okay, you've got to come up with names to describe both your personality and your wine taste. And we all did it. We all found names that describe what we'd like to drink as well as our personalities. So it's kind of our inside joke about our nickname.
Well, I think everyone needs a label. Well, Miss Libby, thank you very much for being part of The Crush. Hopefully we can log in to pbpulse.com and read about your experience on The Crush and put our 2 cents worth in as well.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Well, I am Dark Laura Lawson, and right now we got to take a break here on The Crush, but certainly we will be back with your calls and your emails when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? could there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. Visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your ever-present host for the story about the grape and all its glory. Today we are talking about grape wine jobs. Is that an oxymoron or not? We just talked to Libby Volges, and she was telling us about how she and 3 other friends started a blog and a website to talk about learning about wine and growing in it together, which is one of the things everybody out there can do. Once again, I'll reiterate, if you have an opinion and a corkscrew, you can step into the wine business, especially with the way the Web 2, Twitter, Facebook, everything works today. But hey, Kent, in there, how do you make a large or small fortune in the wine business?
How do you make a large or small fortune? I know how you make a large fortune.
How?
You start out with a larger fortune.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
You start out with a ginormous fortune. And that's key for all of you that are looking to get into the wine business. It is a lot of fun. It has great perks. There are great people. There are very charismatic personalities around it. You're not going to make a lifetime commitment to a pension fund here. It is not something that's going to pay for 3 kids through college, and it's not going to pay for you to be retired at 60. But keep in mind, you work 60% of your life at least, so you might as well have fun doing it. And as long as we're having fun, one of the ways I have fun, of course, is to hear from you. And we ask you, reach out to us. You can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. You can email us, info@winecrush.com. And for those of you out there that Facebook, please look for the Wine Crush group. We're having a lot of fun. The website's been updated. There's some terrible pictures of me from the Chicago Wine Festival. If nothing else, go on site to make fun of them and have a nice time. But because we do say it's all about you, occasionally we do have to take a caller from the wine line. And right now, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk to Ella from North Carolina. Ella, welcome to The Crush.
Could you tell me what the term barnyard means?
Oh, wow. I'm so lucky I'm doing this in the studio, not on the road. Believe it or not, barnyard is a characteristic usually used to connotate Syrahs, Petite Syrahs, particularly from the southern Rhone Valley. It kind of falls in that same characteristic that people say it's great when a wine tastes like creosote, when it tastes like saddled pony, when it tastes like leather, when you get barnyard off it. If I were a new wine drinker and I read that description, I think I'd go running back to Goose. But past that, it usually describes an earthiness, a mustiness. Sometimes barnyard can be used to denote kind of an off characteristic in wine, along the lines of TCA, along the lines of cork, something that is a fault in the wine. But when you get to true Southern Rhone, which is French Syrahs, it is a good and admirable characteristic, and people do look for it. So yes, barnyard definitely can help, definitely can hurt, but most times if you're reading a description, surprisingly enough, it is a good thing, kind of like zoo, kind of like what we do around the studio. But nevertheless, you will encounter strange things along those lines. So, Ella, I hope that helps. Of course, if you want to call back and let me know what you're drinking that has you thinking barnyards, would certainly love to hear that as well.
You used a term earlier, and I didn't know what you meant. You said a wine was flabby?
Flabby, yes.
What is flabby?
Flabby means there's less than necessary acid to counteract all the fruit and flavors. So when you taste a wine, it's flabby when it doesn't have a strong backbone to it and it doesn't have enough acid.
Never heard that.
Well, actually, you can just get flabby by drinking 3 bottles of Chardonnay a night.
Yeah.
Yeah, the caloric content will catch up with you. All right, since we are talking a little bit about great jobs in the wine business, I need to take an email. And this is from Ken in Savannah, Georgia. Ken writes, I am recently retired, but I don't like sitting at home. My wife is driving me insane. I have always loved wine, and I would like to get into the wine business. How can I do this at my age? Once again, Ken, anybody at any age can get in the wine business. But for those of you who are seriously looking for a career in wine, stop thinking about the beverage. Stop thinking about the fact that it's alcoholic, and stop thinking about the fact that it's liquid in a bottle. Think of it as a widget. My MBA professor will be so proud of me right now that I remember the concept widget and going out. Anytime you have any kind of product that's produced, there's going to be a designer, there's going to be production, there's going to be packaging, there's going to be marketing, there's going to be sales, there's going to be end users, and of course there's going to be reviewers. There's even going to be people who write the instruction book. Once you think of wine as a tangible widget, then you can realize everybody doing a job right now can do something that's associated with wine. Whether you are an architect and you want to actually design labels, design bottles, design cases, design wineries, whether you are in marketing right now and you want to design labels once again, or if you want to design ad campaigns, or if you want to design radio campaigns, if you're in the media and you want to do something different, of course you can follow my great footsteps and have a wine show, but you can also get into writing columns. There is no limit to the aspects you can take with the wine business. The one key I ask you to remember, there's an old saying, you never approach a horse nor a restaurant from the rear. That kind of holds true to the wine business. Those of you who are looking to get in this business and think that it's going to involve sipping expensive Chardonnay 5 nights a week, wearing full gowns, diamonds, jetting around the world, marry rich, because that's certainly not the reflection of this business. So, Ken, in looking at what you want to do, recently retired, I would suggest if you don't feel like starting a blog or getting online and joining a group, go to one of your local wine shops. Go to a local sommelier guild. Go to a local restaurant and say, hey, listen, I'd like to come in and bartend. Hey, I'd like to come work your floors for a while. Everybody has to pay their dues in the business, but just getting hands-on experience in something like whether it's a mega mart, whether it's a specialty shop, or whether it's even a wine bar, will definitely get you along the lines. And once you put your toe in the water, you'll know. It's a running joke around the wholesaler, around the retailer, anywhere I've worked. You have a 3-year limit. If you're in the wine business 3 years and you decide that you still like it, then you are possibly just insane enough to stay in it for the rest of your life. But I would say 85% of the people out there have about a 3-year threshold before they decide everybody in this business is insane and I need to go sell pharmaceuticals. So, Ken, hopefully that helped. And for the record, if you retired from pharmaceuticals, trust me, there's a wholesaler out there that'll want you. Moving on, we do need to take some other phone calls. Right now we have Katrina from Ohio on the wine line. Katrina, welcome to The Crush.
I was recently out to dinner with some friends and we were offered the house wine. And it was over $100 and didn't know if that was normal, if you should ask the price. My understanding, the house wines were fairly cheaper than that.
Katrina, next time you go to a restaurant and they're offering a house wine for $100 a bottle, $100 a glass, you don't say, get up, walk out. House wine, it's supposed to be your baseline everyday drink in and out glass of wine.
Sounds more like the White House wine.
Oh, no doubt. Maybe there was a characteristics we missed there. House style, house serve, big house, I don't really know. But a house wine, generally when you walk into a bar or restaurant, it is mostly a no-name wine that's usually the less expensive bottle of wine or glass of wine that's in that restaurant. unless you go back and get the cooking wine, you generally can't get anything cheaper. It's usually poured out of a 1.5. It's been known to pour out of a keg lately. You never really know. But no, house wine should never cost you more than $12 a glass. That's even in your high-end steakhouses. House wine, generally $5 to $6 a glass, never should be more than $45 a bottle. So, Katrina, I don't know. You're from Ohio, but past that, I don't know where you were dining that they would charge you that. But no, house wine's kind of your golden standard. That's the inexpensive bottom tier. And no, $100 is not acceptable. If you really want to have some fun, feel free to post the website. Post the name of the restaurant on our website, winecrush.com, and we'll go after them ourselves. All right, we have a great guest coming up next. We have Dave Reddy, for those of you that's been hanging on the edge of your seats, to announce the coolest wine job ever on the planet. That exciting news when we return.
We've got more Wine Crush coming up in a moment.
He took me to the Spider Club at Hollywood and Vine. We drank champagne and we danced all night.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX, performance you can feel.
Mozart's teas are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Laura Lawson, host of The Wine Crush, which is the second best job in the wine business. Yes, I'll admit it's the second best job because I have certainly found the best job. And now we have Dave Reddy from Murphy Good to tell us about the greatest, best job that's open for you, our listeners, to apply for. Dave, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hey, good to be here. How you doing, Laura?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming back on the show.
You betcha.
I am so excited. The reason why I found out about this amazing gig is someone actually sent me a link and told me I needed to apply for it. And I started laughing, and I thought Dave would take one look at that and say, oh, God, I know her. She'll never work for me as long as I live.
Oh, come on.
But you have got to tell our listeners. Let's open this up to the National Forum. You've got to tell about this job.
Oh, this is great. And, you know, we're calling it a really good job, you know, playing on the Murphy Good with an E. And basically I'm looking for someone that is very Web 2.0 savvy, you know, going through social medias, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, doing the video blogs, and basically following me around and working with the other people in the winery for 6 months. We're going to pay them $10,000 a month. We have a house for them to live in Healdsburg, California, one of the greatest wine towns in the world. And, you know, we want to reach out and open up a dialogue, you know, with our consumers and reach out to new consumers.
So let me reiterate for these listeners who have pulled off the side of the road to fully hear this. You are going to pay someone $10,000 a month. You're going to put them up in a house. You're going to pay them to drink wine, follow you around, and pay liar's dice for 6 months of their life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what does everyone need to do to apply? How do we do this?
Well, now you can either go to murphygood.com or a really good with an E job.com, and it sets up all the rules. It's going to be what we're looking for is a 60-second video that demonstrates to us that, you know, you're incredibly interesting, engaging, that people are going to want to follow you for 6 months. And, you know, we want to prove to the world that this is going to work in our wine industry.
Well, it makes sense. Now, Dave, granted, we do media. I have a radio show. Explain to our listeners what Web 2.0 is.
Well, you know, it's doing the great thing about, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter and the video posts is that, you know, we feel that we're going to open this dialogue. They're going to learn, you know, what Murphy Good's all about. You know, you've known us for many years.
Thank you for not clarifying that.
You know, our slogan has always been, you know, we take our wine seriously, ourselves not so much. And we want to, you know, teach people that wine is not an unobtainable thing. It's not snobby. It's a beverage that's great to share with friends. It's great with food. But, you know, you don't need to be intimidated by it.
Do you think a lot of people in the country are still intimidated by wine?
Yes, I do. You know, I do a lot of bottle signings, and people are, you know, will walk in saying, oh, you know, I want a wine, but I just don't know what I should do. You know, I have friends coming over. They're wine experts. you know, and what that means, I don't know. They could just be really big fans of wine. But, you know, wine isn't something where, you know, they have to know everything about it. You know, one of the common questions is, how do I know if I'm drinking a good wine? It's like, well, I don't know, the wine you're tasting, does it taste good?
Do you like it? Does it taste nice? Well, then it's a good wine.
It's a good wine.
I don't know. I'm convinced that wine expert is synonymous with IRS agent. It's got to be, because you tell someone you're a wine expert, their eyes get round and they run.
Well, exactly. And, you know, and this person, you know, we're not looking for, and not to say that we wouldn't love to have, you know, a master sommelier, or someone who knows everything about wine production. I mean, we're bringing them here so that they can discover, you know, what it is to have the, you know, the wine country lifestyle, what it's like to be in the wine business. You know, and obviously there's a lot of great sommeliers, master sommeliers, that are very approachable, and they know that. You know, they're not going to try to scare you off talking about, you know, the 1,000 varietals of Italy. You know, they're going to help get you wines and speak the language that you can understand.
But, Dave, they already have the cool jobs. I think it would be much more fun to take a total neophyte, someone who's just learning about wine and excited about it, it seems like the excitement would carry over more from an inexperienced person.
Right. Well, you know, we just want somebody that's passionate about wine, and someone that's interesting, but, you know, really has to have those social media skills. I mean, this has never been done in the wine industry before, and that's why it is only a 6-month position, because we're going to need time to figure out, you know, how well this worked. But we're really excited about it, and, you know, we think we'll be able to reach out to the millennials as well as our, you know, current consumers.
So no college degree, no wine experience, only passionate people need apply.
Right. Yeah, you got to be 21 and eligible to work in the United States.
I have a very, very bad feeling that I just let my producer and my assistant, they both just ran out to get on a computer.
I need to announce I'm giving my notice today.
See, Dave, you're a lot of help. Well, Dave, anytime you're on The Crush, it's always a good day for me. But thank you so much for using this medium to announce what's going on. For our listeners, you have to have everything in by June 5th. And for those of you who are applying, I insist you send it to The Crush, too.
Yes. I mean, you want people to be on your side. And again, make those videos interesting and go to murphygood.com, which will take you to areallygoodjob.com.
I like that. Well, Dave, thank you very much for being part of The Crush, and I'm sure you and I will catch up soon.
That sounds excellent. I may be out your way in 2 weeks.
Bring it. Let's see you out here.
All right. Be great.
Thanks, darling.
See you soon. Thanks, Laura.
All right. Don't ever say The Crush never brought you anything. Here is your job opportunity. Here is your chance. I expect all of you to apply and try, but I want copies of it. Send it to winecrush.com or info@winecrush.com. After that great announcement, we have to take a small break. But you'll have more of The Crush when we return.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over-limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. Hi-ya! It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I am Laura Lawson, and we are putting the wraps on the show that's been about cool jobs in the wine business. And I have to say so myself, I have brought y'all two of the greatest opportunities. For those of you who want to just sit at home, relax, and get into the whole wine atmosphere, start a blog, start something like the Swirl Girls, where you can learn with your community, you can compare and contrast. You will be shocked how many people will respond to you. On the opposite side of it, I have brought you what I think is the coolest job ever in the wine business. Actually, on that note, I'm hoping we are still on the air since my whole production booth has cleared out, I assume, to go log in to murphygood.com and fill out their own applications. But whenever you look at getting into the wine business, there are two things, and these are my two steering principles and quotes that get me through the day when I think about where I've come. Number one is from W.C. Fields. I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me. Just because the wine business looks glamorous, looks fun, doesn't mean it's always going to be rewarding, but I promise you, you're going to love any job you can find in the business. The other one is what was taught to me when I was 18 years old and I started in the wine business. And it goes like this. The wine business is a cruel and shallow money pit where pimps and thieves run free and weak men die like dogs. And this is something that has carried me through my many, many years in the business. And unfortunately, it is the overriding principle I still come back to. Because it doesn't matter whether you're selling wine, you're selling widgets. It's a tough job. It's a tough atmosphere. And just be prepared to have to think on your feet. I wish everyone well who is trying to find their time and their effort to get into the wine business. But I think Dave Reddy hit the nail on the head with this definitively. Whatever you do, whether it's wine, whether it's whiskey, whether it's going to a secretarial job every day, you have to do it with passion. And that is the lifeblood of what happens in the wine business. That's why people do radio shows. That's why people listen to radio shows. That's why they write blogs. That's why they submit cool jobs and make great products, is because we're all passionate. And so it doesn't matter whether or not you like what's in the Fumé Blanc we recommend. It doesn't matter whether you like the Chardonnay. The fact is, if you're passionate enough time and time again to go back and try over and over, then perhaps the wine business is something you ought to look at. If not, just remember, the end user is always a great job too. Any day you can come home from the job you're passionate about and love and profess and cap it off with a great glass of Chardonnay, you're doing as much contribute to this business as I do. Well, I am Laura Lawson, and this is the end of another version of The Wine Crush. We are reminding you always, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, and most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth.